is the Morning News Express on WFMD. Good morning, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. You know, Ryan, one of the worst parts of not being in studio when the sheriff comes is every now and then he brings me some deer bologna.
Bob, you're killing me. I have to FedEx you a roll.
Yeah, right? Thank you. It is the best, and I like it when my son's not around, because if he's around, it just disappears really quickly, but really good stuff. And I like the sheriff. And sheriff, without, you know, sounding too kitschy here, I mean, what a great job by the school resource officer. Even though it was, you know, my thinking is, wow, it was 4:20 and this kid was stoned and asleep in his car. But great thinking by the school resource officer in a time where we have people who want to do away with school resource officers.
Yeah, listen, excellent. Classic example of why the SROs are at our schools to be there in the event something does happen or something suspicious is going on. He took a quick action, and let me give credit to the staff person at Governor Thomas Johnson who alerted the deputy. So without that, the deputy's not really aware of the vehicle out there, but it was a team effort, but that's a great example of why we are there.
What was going to happen, Sheriff? I mean, have we gotten to the bottom of this? What we know is he had drugs, he had an empty magazine, he had a pellet gun, which could be used for to scare somebody, and he had a lot of drugs on him. What was going to happen in front of TJ High School?
Well, the truth is we don't know. So was a crime thwarted? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Was it just a guy who happened to crash in the parking lot? Probably. But the bottom line is he was a known convicted felon and an affiliate of a criminal gang. So the very likelihood that there was going to be a crime at some point is probably pretty good.
Well, Ryan asked this question just off the air when we were talking about it, and I appreciate you coming on the program with us. Was like, what kind of gang? What gangs are in Frederick, and are they really motivated gangs? Are they highly organized, or are they just like, you know, hey, wannabe gang members? And how does the sheriff's department know that they're here?
Okay, so a number of questions. So let's answer the first one. This individual was a member of the 88 Crush Mob, which is based out of Montgomery County. We don't have any information that gang exists here in Frederick County. So he was an out-of-county, known drug or gang member, convicted felon. What was he doing up here? We'll probably never know. Secondly, there are criminal gangs in Frederick, a number of criminal gangs. You know, you have the Bloods, you have the Crips, you have different sets of each. You've got MS-13, 18th Street, Latin Kings as far as Hispanic gangs. Yes, they are all organized gangs. They're serious. They're criminal enterprises.
Hmm. And did look up the 88 Crush Gang, and it seems to be a derivative maybe of a – is it a Spanish gang? They were formed on Piney Branch Road.
I'm not really sure of that. And, again, this is the first this has crossed our plate here in Frederick, so mm-hmm. – But let me go back to Bob's last question. So how do we know they're here? So a lot of this information is gained through criminal investigations. A lot of the information comes to us after an individual is arrested, go to jail. we have criminal gang experts who know how to identify through associates, through investigations, through criminal intel. So there's a number of ways we can identify that they are actually affiliated with criminal gangs.
The sheriff.
Bob, please.
Frederick County.
That's it for the bologna. No more bologna.
I'm sorry. But you know what? I want to, the city does have a new police chief. Have you met him and had a conversation and your thoughts about
Yes, I have met Chief Lando. We had a great conversation, good meeting. Very pleasant guy. I think he's going to be a good police chief. We talked about strategies for dealing with some of these protests and things. But before we get down that road, let me go back to what I said about the incident at Thomas Johnson High. So this incident in itself should end any conversations at the local Board of Education about the elimination of the SRO program. If this isn't a classic example of the importance, then nothing is. And let me also do a shout-out to Principal Tracy Kibler, who runs a great ship at TJ High. She did a great job as principal of Walkersville. That woman, she's a professional, and she keeps her ship steady out there. So hats off to her. But, again, this should end any conversations about eliminating an SRO program.
Yeah, I wonder, that's the narrative that's carried out that's kind of packaged into police reform. And I've said for a while now, Sheriff, that I don't really think we need police reform. I think maybe more training. But
what we need is societal reform. We don't need police reform. We are always training. We're constantly training. Every year, in-service training, new training, new topics, new subject matter. But we're always training.
The one common bind between all these people that are being shot and killed and hurt and quote-unquote brutalized by the police is that they're all breaking the law. George Floyd was breaking the law. He passed a 20-dollar counterfeit bill. He was resisting arrest. If you saw the entire 9-minute video, you know that he didn't want to get out of his car. They had to forcefully remove him. I'm not saying the knee to the back of the neck was necessary, but I am saying it was started by George Floyd resisting arrest and breaking the law.
So the real common denominator in every one of these cases, and pick one anywhere across the country, the one common denominator is that individual, whether they broke the law or whether it was something that spun off of a routine traffic stop, that individual failed to obey the lawful order of a police officer. And we are charged by the authority of law to give orders, you know, stop, show me your hands, step out of your car, write a citation, you're under arrest. But these individuals, every single time, failed to obey that verbal command, that order that we have the authority to give. Had they obeyed that order in any one of these situations, we don't have a George Floyd, we don't have a Michael Brown, we don't have a Freddie Gray. None of these things ever occur. So my whole thing is we go back to let's go back to reform society to have respect for the authority of the law.
Now, we heard Sheriff, you know, and we're going outside of our jurisdiction here, but like the Micaiah Bryant, the young lady with the knife who was shot, and police body camera shows her charging a young woman with a knife and was shot. And we heard Juan Williams say the other day on the five, well, they should have just fired a warning shot and she probably would have stopped. Well, that's a lot of what ifs right there. And police, I mean, is there a time when, you fire a warning shot?
Our policy is there are no warning shots. If a situation rises to the level to justify the use of deadly force, then we are charged and we have the authority to take that action. Now, listen, so what if the deputy fires, or what if that officer had fired a warning shot or continued to give verbal commands? That woman was going to stab those girls. He had no choice. That in itself presented a deadly force situation. The officer was clearly justified, no question about it. What the hell else could he have done?
All right, let's go out to the phone lines, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. I think Steve is on the line from Jefferson. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's going
Doing
on?
Great.
Hey, Sheriff, I've called you a few times and met you a few times, and I really appreciate your ongoing stance on drug addiction, and I want to congratulate you. I know you were instrumental in getting that detox center finally opened, and I'd appreciate if you'd tell the folks more about it. I just read about it once in the newspaper, but my main point of the call is that body cameras, it amazes me, or it's interesting to me that in a matter of a few months, the two extremes, the Floyd, I call it an execution, and then that officer you guys were just talking about in Columbus, absolutely did what he had to do, and the body camera proved it. And what it's done is it's shut up these knee-jerk people that every time a cop has to act with deadly force, that there are two extremes there. And my thing to you, Sheriff, is that I've nagged you over the years. It's time for the sheriffs in Frederick County to get body cameras, and you've always opposed it because of the cost. And I get that, but I read a little about it on the national scene. Steve, get to your question.
I don't have this that much time. Go ahead.
I think his question is,
let's get body cameras. And I remember you, Sheriff.
All right. Sheriff, can you deal with that, please?
Well, Thanks. The law now says we're going to have to get body cameras by 2025. So we'll get them. We'll put them into use. We'll be equipped with them. But here's the thing. So have the body cameras, even though in certain circumstances it validates the officer's actions, it doesn't quiet down the opponents. It doesn't quiet down those who hate police. And oftentimes it creates more questions because the cameras have limited benefit in what they capture. So there's pros, cons. But the bottom line, Steve, yes, we're going to end up with body cameras. But the downside is the county's going to have to come up with the money, and my men will do without raises, benefits, and other equipment. So there's a trade-off.
All right.
Maybe she could take some of the $21 million maintenance above effort the school department, school system. All right, we'll get more with the sheriff of Frederick County. If you want to get in line to have a comment, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. It's the Morning News Express on WFMD. Bob Miller, Ryan Hendrick, and the Sheriff of Frederick County, Sheriff Chuck Jenkins. Well, we got the body camera issue out of the way. It's on my list. One of the things that obviously the whole defund the police and the police bill of rights, and I remember hearing, I think it was Karen Lewis Young, Delegate Karen Lewis Young, and maybe even King Kerr both saying the same thing. Well, this doesn't mean we're going to lose police officers in general. Sheriff, your thoughts on that? Do you think you're going to – have you had guys and or I should say officers or deputies put in their resignation, their retirement, saying, you know what, I'm done with what Annapolis is doing to us?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've had a couple retirements since then, and a part of the reason was what's happening to policing overall. A part of it was the fact they've got their 25 years in, they've had enough, they're ready to walk away with their retirement. But a piece of that thought process was, listen, there's not a lot of good to look forward to in policing. Now, let me go back to your first comment. I believe overall, yes, agencies will lose officers. People won't come into policing. I don't necessarily think that's the case here in Frederick County. And I've said that because this is the greatest county in the entire country to police in. The public's very respectful of us, to us. Likewise, we treat the public very well. They recognize that. So Frederick County, I got to tell you, is the land of pleasant living and policing. So it may not happen here for a long time, but I think overall you will see people walking away from law enforcement.
All right. In the 6 o'clock hour, we are joined by Frederick City Mayor Michael O'Connor, who called property crime. Now, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to mix up words or put words in the mayor's mouth, but he called it a minor property crime that we saw, and he kind of dismissed it, correct?
Yeah, he just said it's, that kind of stuff is replaceable and it's minor.
He minimized the crime. So here is a 90-second clip from the 6 o'clock hour. If you're just tuning in, Mayor O'Connor kind of making waves by dismissing the magnitude of the protests that we've seen the Frederick Socialists carry out over the past couple of weeks. Here's Mayor O'Connor.
The chief of police and I, Jason Lando, and met with Lisa Nieves several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we have had a conversation with her, and we explained our approach. And certainly I expressed my empathy for the situation that she dealt with. I don't think anybody should have to be in a situation where they're feeling personally accosted and having, their own property while they're sitting in it, it be damaged. So I am concerned anytime people would resort to violence as a way to achieve their ends. I don't think that that's the answer. And what we've seen over the last year with this increase in protests and demonstrations is that the overwhelming majority, and by overwhelming majority, I would say nearly all of them, have been peaceful, with the exception of these kinds of limited incidents, which even in the broad scheme of peace of protest that may not fall into the strict definition of peaceful, it is relatively minor property damage as opposed to any threats to the life, health, or safety of people, which is where our focus is going to be. So we've put out some guidance through the city and with the police department on how we'll respond as a city to future marches and protests and the approach that we want to take.
All right, Sheriff, you heard it. Your response.
I think the mayor's a joke. I really do, in the sense that he addresses criminal activity like that. First of all, I know Lisa Nieves, and I know the other lady who was with Lisa to meet with him, and her response to me was, they got absolutely nothing out of the mayor. Zero, nothing. Waste of time. They were very impressed with the chief of police. They said he listened, he was thoughtful in his answers, his responses. They have confidence in the chief of police. I have no confidence in the mayor. I think he's done very poorly in serving Frederick, especially going back to the protests last year, where during all that time when it was all ramping up to these big marches, these big protests, and he shared no information that he had with local businesses. Downtown city businesses were calling me for information. Now, that just shouldn't be. Now, my other take is, my personal opinion, when these protests occur, as long as they're peaceful, and yes, they are going to interfere with traffic, both motor vehicle and pedestrian traffic, you may have to block off some streets. That's reasonable. Once the first brick is thrown, the first bottle is thrown, the first destruction of any type of property, somebody goes to jail. Somebody gets locked up. And generally, if you do that, it stops. You cut the head off the snake, it stops. So I've had, going back to my conversations with the chief, we were talking about this type of situation, and I'm not going to disclose what he said to me, but basically he said, we talked about arrest, and I said, yes, listen, you arrest him, we arrest him, I've got cells to put him in. So that's the common thought process that we shared.
Do you think, though, one of the things the mayor said was that, you know, it's not like they haven't seen and they won't make arrests, but they don't want to do it. They didn't want to do it at the time. Do you feel the same way? So it doesn't, it kind of doesn't escalate the situation if you see somebody spray painting graffiti or something, that you wouldn't go automatically go arrest them if it was in the county, that you would, you know, maybe take note, try to get pictures or whatever, but you wouldn't want to escalate it right then and there?
I say the place is right then and there to arrest, pull them out of the crowd. Now, there's two ways to do this. You can pull them out of the crowd, get them away from that scene, get them into an area, detain them, and cite them for the crime and detain them until the protest is over, or you can simply put bracelets on them, take them to jail. Either way is effective, but you get them out of the crowd, you remove them from that scene, and generally what happens when people see that you mean business, it stops. It won't escalate.
All right.
That's my belief.
Bob, I have a call real quick I want to get to before we end the segment. I know we're up against the clock, but caller, you've been waiting for a while. Thank you, and welcome to the Morning News Express.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Chuck. This is Jennifer from Frederick, and could you talk, this is a little different than what you've been talking about. Can you just talk a little bit about what you guys have seen from your perspective with the kids being out of school, both from the mental health aspect of it, as well as if kids are bored, they find things to get into.
All right, Sheriff, we have literally one minute for this.
I think this has devastated young children, people in the school, students. I think it's devastated them. We haven't seen a specific rise in problems. We haven't seen a whole host of issues. I do believe it's affecting their mental health. We haven't seen a lot of it, again, in our jurisdiction.
All right, Sheriff Jenkins, thank you so much for making time for us. We know you're busy.
Thank you.
But thanks for stopping by. We appreciate
it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Sheriff.
A roll of bologna is on its way. Amazon. Amazon.
All right, the Morning News Express. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick, and Sheriff Chuck Jenkins departing, but kind enough to spend about an hour with us this morning.